We are now beginning Masecht Pesachim, which actually is written in plural, and some say because there are two Korban Pesachs, there's a Pesach Rishon and a Pesach Sheni, or two Yom Tovim, therefore Pesachim. And also other things, there are two parts to the Masecht, there's the Yom Tov side and there's the Korban side. Anyway, the Mishnah says, Or l'arba asa. The Ur to the 14th. Ur is going to mean the night, and Ur usually means light, but over here we use it, and I will explain why we use the word Ur later, because it's Lashon Nekiyah, it's a more elegant way of expressing oneself, because people should not use grotesque language. So, Ur l'Abba Asa, on the night of the 14th, Boitkin es ha-chametz, you need to search the chametz l'Ur haner. You need to search the chametz by candlelight. We're going to see later in the Gemara why by candlelight. We learn from different psukim. It's only midrabanan, but nevertheless, we learn from different psukim. And you have to do bdikah. And here's a famous argument. Why do we have to search the house for chametz? The Gemara later on said that every person who searches their house for chametz, nevertheless, still has to do bitul chametz as well, which basically means you nullify your chametz, and we'll discuss later what exactly the outcome of that is. But at the moment you do bitul, the chametz is no longer yours. So why do you have to be bidik? So Rashi says over here, you're biting your chametz in order to make sure you're not violating the sins of Bayero Bayamatze. There are two sins of having chametz in your house. Apart from the fact that you didn't get rid of it, the fact that it's able to be seen and it's able to be found, the Torah says in one pasuk, lo yiroh lecha chametz, you shouldn't see chametz. Another pasuk, lo yimatze b'cho, you shouldn't find it by you, and you still have it by you. So Rashi says you're violating these two sins, which troubles all the Rishonim, because since you have to do bittul anyway, how can you tell me the reason for doing bidikah is to make sure that from the Torah's perspective you're not liable, when anyway you're not liable because you did bittul? So some Rishonim understand Rashi is talking about the way it is from the Torah's perspective. And according to the Torah, you don't have to do bittul. In fact, the word tashbisu usually means omid batechen, sounds like it means to physically destroy. So we're not talking about bittul, even though the Targum Unkel says, translates the word tashbisu as tevatul, and you should make bittul. But others say, the Ran says, no, the Rashi is talking about even midrabbanan. We are worried that your bittul was not done wholeheartedly. It didn't really genuinely mean that all your chametz should become batul, and therefore the chametz still belongs to you, and that's why you have to do bdikah mehatera. The Rabbi Avadya Bat Nura says, we're scared you're going to change your mind on the bittul. That even though you mevatul it, you might change your mind and cancel the bittul. And I guess, according to Rav, you can cancel a bittul, because he understands when you do bittul, what you're doing is you're not saying it's no longer mine. Because if you say no longer yours, how do it become yours again? How do you cancel a bittul? You cannot be koyne chametz on Pesach. So how do you make it yours again? So if chametz doesn't, has also about no, you cannot be koyne, if you cannot have any benefit from it. So it means that he holds the chametz is still yours, but it has no value. But the moment you change your mind, you gave it value again. So therefore, you are over. But the Ran learns that chametz, when you do bittul, it's no longer yours. So therefore, you cannot change your mind. The problem is, it might not be wholehearted. Teisa says the reason why you do bittul is, because we're scared if you leave chametz lying around your house, you might come to eat it. So how come you're allowed to have treif in your house and all these other things, and we're not allowed to have chametz? Why are we stricter with chametz? So it gives a number of reasons. One reason is chametz, you're so used to eating it a whole year, we're very worried on Pesach you'll eat it. Everything else, treif, you never eat. So therefore, we're not concerned. Or is because chametz, the Torah added these two extra sins, you shouldn't see, you shouldn't have it, which you only find by Avodah Zarah and nowhere else. So therefore the rabbis also were stricter. Others say because chametz has so many different, because chametz is only temporarily asr. Yesterday was permitted, today it's forbidden. So therefore it's a stricter kind of an isr, and that's why you have to get rid of it as well. Even though we find the same thing by a nazir, who says he won't drink wine, yesterday was permitted, today it's forbidden, but by a nazir, the wine, is not forbidden to have any pleasure from. By chametz, you don't have any pleasure from either. So the mission continues. Come makom she'ein machdisim el chametz. Any room that you do never bring in chametz, ain't shar b'dikah. There's no reason to countenance that there might be some b'dikah there. Might be some chametz there. You don't have to do b'dikah. But if you're not sure of the chametz there or not, you have to do b'dikah. Because the whole idea, as Alter Rebbe explains, the whole idea of b'dikah is to search for possible chametz. So if there's a possibility of chametz, that's what you have to do. You have to go ahead and search. So even though it's drabbanon, and generally drabbanon were lenient, not here. That's what the mitzvah b'dikah is all about. But what about a place you definitely didn't bring any chametz? You don't have to do b'dikah. So how come we have an argument, Misham Basil, when it comes to a wine cellar, how you b'dik the chametz in a wine cellar?
who brings chametz into a wine cellar? Over me'amru, when do we say beis shudas, two rows b'martif in your wine cellar? That's talking about a case where mokum shemachlis b'chametz. There were certain wine cellars that were right next to that abutted their dining room, and if they ran out of wine, they would send the butler there to go bring some more wine. And sometimes he would have chametz in his hand eating while he went to bring the wine. So now, how exactly do we search? Beshamai says beis shudas, two rows al pnei kol martif, over the entire wine cellar. Big argument in the Gemara later. How exactly we understand Beshamai, whether he means the vertical row in the first row and then the horizontal row facing the ceiling all the way to the end, or he means the first two vertical rows. Or Beisil says shtei shudas achitzei, two outer rows shehen al yenis. The argument more there as well. Does it mean the very first row, but the top two, the very first row facing the door when you walk into the wine cellar, the entire row? But it means the top, let's say, the three rows of barrels, the top two rows, or does it mean the first and second row, the top row? Because generally that's arm's length. If you have any food, that you probably put it down. Anyway, says Igmar, my oil. What does the word oil mean? Amar Avuna says nagi. It means nagi, and the Gemara assumed that nagi means light, which means day. The Yehuda Imel Leila means night. So tomorrow assumed there's an argument here when one should be Baidi the Chametz, by day or by night. Now, practically speaking, by day, using candlelight is very difficult to do. It doesn't really add much when you have sunlight. But right now, just being technical, and this is one of the few Gemaras we have, that you have a whole page of Gemara discussing a misassumption, a misunderstanding. But right now, that's our assumption. Because after we thought, the Mandom and Nagi, one says Nagi, Nagi Mamish, it means daytime. Says night means night, which obviously that's going to be the conclusion. But what's about nagi? So basically, as a question, we're going to bring a number of words where it says the word oir, and oir either means night or means day. The boiker is oir, and right now we think oir is a noun. The boiker is oir, and then the people were sent away. These are the 12 shvat, the 10 shvatim that were sent back from Yosef. Alma, we see from here, proof to Rabbi Huna the boiker which is known as Oyr, and the people were sent away. We think Oyr is a noun. Says the Gemara, Miksiv ha'Oyr boiker, the Oyr which is the noun, boiker in the morning, ha'boiker Oyr, the morning, and Oyr is a verb, the morning began to shine. Ksiv, Commander Alma, as if we're saying Tzafran, no, the morning, this ray of sunshine. Rabbi Huna Merav, and why would the Pasuk then tell us? And what's that? Why we need to know exactly when they left? When you enter a town, you should always enter daylight. Leave during daylight. Why? So Rashi says because we are worried about a mazikin. Sorry, robbers. Rashi says because robbers and wild animals. And Tosfos says that if it's in your town, we are worried about mazikin. And like demons or something, and if it's another town, because you might not know where all the potholes are, and it's dangerous. Okay, Mesa, that's another question. It says in the pasuk, "Uchay boiker." Like again, we think that "oy boiker" is a noun. So it says, "Like the morning, oy yizach shemesh, the sun will shine." It sounds like we're saying "oy boiker." Like oir, which is boiker. In other words, again, it's a noun. This sun will shine. Alma oir yamamu, oir is an oir. The noun oir is a day. So miksiv oir boiker. Does it say oir boiker? Ksiv oir boiker. Ksiv. It says like the light of the morning. Again, it's a verb. How come? This is what the pasuk is trying to say. Dovin is saying oir boiker, just like the light of the morning. And Tosha says morning over here means the brightest time of the morning, which means noon. But Olam Hazeh, just like when noon, the sun is in its brightest, most brilliant, Ke'ein Zricha Shemesh will be just like sunrise, L'tzadikim L'Olam Haba. Today, noon is like, in when Osir L'Mashiach will come, will be like sunrise for tzadikim, will be so much more brilliant. Meishel asks another question, it says in the beginning of Bereishis, Vayikra L'kim L'Oyr, Yom, he called Oyr day. Isn't it clear that Oyr is day? Alma Oyr Yimamu, that Oyr is day. All proofs to Rav Huna. Hachakam, no, this is what he's saying. L'Oyr, the verb, when there is light, L'meir, when there is light, when there was light by day, he's called it day. If so, as soon as it started getting darker, Kodalaila calls it night. When does it start getting darker? Right after lunch. The sun starts setting. So does that mean that afternoon is already called night? It's a verb. So as it starts getting darker, he calls it already night. We have a rule that it's day, is technically considered day until the physically night comes out and the stars come out. Elihachikam. This is how you read the pasuk. Kariyah Rachmanon. He summoned. Vayikra Elikim LaOir. He summoned the light. Upakte Amitzvah and gave instructions. You should shine during Yom. The Imam of the day. Vayikariyah Rachmanon LaChashech. And Hashem called forward the night. Upakte Amitzvah. The line says your instruction is to shine at night. There's a big argument. What's night? Is night lack of light, or night is actually something, an entity in its own? It says clearly from here, the night is an entity of its own, not just an absence of light. If it's an absence of light, once the light is gone after, you know, in the evening, that's it. It's dark. What do you have to call darkness and tell them you function at night? So obviously, there's more to darkness than just lack of light. Major, last question. Okay, so we're still discussing what the word "ur" means. Halu, called, even though or definitely the verb is light, but what does the noun mean? Because it could be that the noun would be day, because like a blind person is called sagina, or a blind person in the Gemara is called sagina, full of light. So maybe the day, what do you call it? So day, it makes sense that day should be called oy, because oy is light, and day is when there's light out there. In fact, night, calling light, is a bit more like a euphemism. Anyway, so the Gemara makes a lot of questions. Says the pasuk, "Halu kol kochvei oir," that all the stars of oir will praise you. Doesn't that clearly say that oir is night? Alma oir utu, that oir, in fact, the noun is night. Hachikama, no, maybe it's a verb. "Halu kol kochvei midim," all the shining stars praise Hashem. Says the Gemara, why only shining stars? Only those stars that are shining praise Hashem. And those are not shining, I praise Hashem. But see, it says in another pasuk, "Halu kol tzvav," every single creation in the heaven praises Hashem. What do you mean, if you're telling me it means it's a verb, the shining stars, what about the rest? Doesn't that mean Elo Kamashul? No, it means shining stars. So why does it limit it only to shining stars? You're right, all the stars. But you know why he calls it shining stars? To tell you that Oir Kochavim Nami Oiru. You should know that halachically, the light that is emitted by the stars is technically called light. And why do we need to know halachically? Why do we need to know Lunoidim and Oir? If a guy says, I don't have any benefit from light, that automatically includes stars. If somebody makes a net, he won't have any benefit from light. Also, be Oirin Shekachavim is not allowed to have any benefit from light, even of stars. Now, even though we have a general rule when it comes to the vows, we ask the person, what exactly did you mean when you said that? So what do we have to make rules for? Ask him, when he said light, what did he mean? So he says, so the Rishonim say that's talking about a case where the guy doesn't speak Hebrew, he speaks English, but he used the Hebrew language. He says, I won't have any oir. So he needs to know halachically what is considered oir. So he says, Kechavim is considered oir. Then going further, okay, we still have no proof either way. Meisr will ask another question. It says in Pasuk, Iyu said, Lo'oir, when it comes to Oir, Yokum Retzeach, the murderer will stand up, Yekotl, he will kill Ani ve'Evian, the poor and impoverished. But Balayla, not night, this same person, this murderer, turns into Yeganev, he becomes a thief. So it doesn't that, if you want to draw a contrast between Oir and Laila, what does that tell us? What is Oir? Oir must be mean day. Homer the comedy says, "Well, Lila, you can get out of it now. He's like a thief." Alma Oyer Mamu. So we see from here that while the Oyer's day, proof to Rav Huna says, "You again, you misunderstood the pasuk." And the pasuk is as follows: in Jewish law, if a person comes to rob from you, you have no right to kill him. There's no self-defense here. But if you feel that the person is about to kill you, then you have to. Then you're allowed to self-defense. You're allowed to defend. Machteres Yimatze Aganav. If he comes to you clandestinely and he digs his way under the ground into your house, you have every right to defend yourself because he's ready to kill you if you're standing in his way. So we learn from that as follows. If the person that is the ganef, you're dead set certain, will not kill you, you have no right to kill him. But if you're not sure, you're allowed to kill him. When do we know for sure that person won't kill you? If it's your father. A father to a son, there's no way a father might rob a son, will never kill a son. So this is what the pasuk means. If it's clear to you like light, here, I'm going to come over lightly. I am saying about it. How come it? If it's certain to you, Musa, the matter, like light, that he's going to kill you or the murder, then you're allowed to kill him. And every ganev is considered definitely ready to kill you. If he has to, he comes in usually armed in case you're there. But the imasapkalach Musa, but if you're not sure, kalila like dark, you know, it's a bit fuzzy, you're not sure whether the person kill you or not, ye beinechi ganef, treat him on me like a ganef, and don't, you have no right to kill him. And we're talking about a father to a son. Says the Gemara, Mishal asks another question. It says in Pasuk, Yechshechu kam da, koich ve'nishpoi, the stars of the night will come star, will come very dark. Yikav, you will hope la'or for oi, va'ayin is not coming, and va'al yila, you won't see, ba'af apai shochar, the rays in the morning. But the Gemara says, Yikav la'oi, you're waiting for oi, va'ayin is not here, what are you waiting for? And says the morning comes and we're going to show. Alma or yimamu or me, you're waiting for the daytime. Says the Gemara, no. Hosam melu to the kolayla eve. It's not a noun. Eve is cursing the mazla, how everything is going wrong for him. Alma, he said, Yehirava the litzpe ha gavril noherim. May the wish of this person is anticipating for light, or is a verb in light. Veloy lishke will never find it. He was bemoaning his fate. Meitzel asks a question, Dovah Melech says, but Oimir, he says, Achoshech yishufeini, I'll be afflicted with darkness. So I'll be afflicted with darkness. And, what is it? Achoshech yishufeini, v'layla oir badeini, but the night became oir for me. What do you mean the night became oir for me? Alma oir yimamu, he said, I thought I'll only be bad, and things turned out to be better. This is the story of Bathsheba, when everybody cursed him out for what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah Hittite. But then at the end, when David HaMelech passed away, and the gates of the Beis HaMikdash refused to open, only in the Zchus of David HaMelech, we had this in Mor Shabbos, and in other places, Rashi actually brings in Moed Katan, don't know why he doesn't bring Shabbos. So he knew that David should forgave him. So he says, I thought it'll be all dark. But Laila Badeni, but the Laila became oir. So doesn't it sound like that? I mean, the night became day. Alma or yimamhu. What's it again? No. Hasi hachakav. This is what David said. Ani amarti. I thought, ach, choishek yishufeini lo dam haba, that I'll find myself in darkness when the world to come. Because what happened with Bathsheba? Through doim liyayim, which is similar olam haba, is like day. I thought that my day will turn to night. Oh, dark. Ach shav ha'olam hazeh shudayim liyayim. But now, instead, what happened is that this world, which is similar to night, or ba'adeni, this world, which is similar to night, now became light, a verb, not the noun, but became the light. That this world, which is dark, the night became lit up. Things became much better for me. Because Abish forgave me on my sin. The only problem with the Rashi is that the story that the Rashi gives, that the Abish notified everybody that his Meichel was after the Ramel passed away. And he's saying this while he was still alive. He's saying that now, so maybe some other event as well, that he felt that the Abish was Meichel him. Says the Gemara further, Mitchell asked a question. We're still discussing the word oir, whether the noun. We're talking about the noun of the word oir, whether it means day and night. If you don't remember, it says, Boitin oir abosso, you boitik oir of abosso. Then he says, if not then, of abosso shachar in the morning. Doesn't it clear? So what does oir mean? If not oir, then you do shachar. Obviously, oir means the night preceding night. Or v'shasabir. If you don't do that, then v'shasabir, the time of destroying the Chametz, means 12 o'clock. It's a good proof. Now, why we have to continue is because even though you bring a proof, and we bring a number of proofs that oir means night, doesn't prove that oir also doesn't mean day. So we need to bring more and more proofs to prove that oir is only night and never means day. Basically, that's another question. We talk about work. When shouldn't you work Erev Pesach? We'll learn in Makkish and Nogan, the fourth payday, that the Menhagim not to work Erev Pesach afternoon, and so on, and also, and there's machleket b'sham b'sil, whether it's a minig, whether it's forbidden, and when it starts at night or during the day. And in Galil, they didn't work at all. Machleket Rashi traces here what we're talking about, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we'll see in a minute, talking about the minig, we're talking about actually Isser. When shouldn't you also, basim lo, shouldn't do any work? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Mishas ha'oy. He says, from the time of oyr. And Rabbi Yudah says, Mishas neitzachama. He says, from sunrise. Okay, now what does oir mean? Omlet Rabbi Yaakov Yehuda, v'chihechen matzinu, where do you find yoyim a day, shemiktsosei osur basiz melocha? You tell me from sunrise, that means prior to sunrise, a lot of work. Where do you find a day that you split in parts? Shemiktsosei osur basiz melocha, part of it is forbidden, miktsosei mutter, part of it is forbidden. But there's no valid reason why should you do that. Omlet, he said back to him, who at the very day of Erev Pesach will prove my point. Miktsosei mutter b'achil chametz, in the morning you're allowed to eat chametz, miktsosei osur, and part of it not allowed to eat chametz. So here you have it. What are you asking me? Why part of the day you could work, why you can't? Since our question is very simple, that was a discussion. But we're going to prove technically. Since Rabbi Yehuda says Mishas Hanetachama from sunrise, Alma. So when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said Oir, what did he mean? He meant night. Alma Oir Dika Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Urtu. He meant night. You shouldn't work from the night. So what do we see from here? That Oir means nighttime, So, my oil amud shachar. No, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, when he said oil, he meant they break, and which is the beginning of the day, and Rabbi Yehuda chose sunrise, which is not the beginning of the day. So, when he challenged Rabbi Yehuda, and he said, "Heichem matzina, where do you find a precedent? Miktosay mutar masis melacha, part of the day is permitted, and part of forbidden. What do you mean? You yourself say that only from daybreak is forbidden, but at night is permitted. Name a eel and nafshe, let him talk to himself. Ha'ika laila de koshari, at night you're allowed to work, in the day you're not allowed to, so what's his problem? Says Gemara, what are you talking about? Night and day we find a number of things which at night you're permitted, for example, by day you're not permitted. Sometimes we treat like two separate days, but within the same day, prior to sunrise and afterwards, we don't find. We find the kapogi rabban, the rabbis make a distinction between yomam and night. For example, every fast day. But when it comes to a communal fast, the dinner is at night you're allowed to eat, and the day you're not allowed to eat. Ad oichu v'shoyse, till when can you eat and drink? You can eat and drink until amud shachar, until the daybreak, as long as you didn't go to sleep. Or if you went to sleep, you had to have in mind that when if you wake up before daybreak, you're going to eat something. Rab Shimon says, Ad kreis hagever. Rab Shimon says, until the hen begins to, even earlier, before daybreak already is forbidden. Right? Until the rooster crows. So therefore, night and day we find distinctions. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's question was, but with sunrise and afterwards, where do you find that distinction? So oyer can mean daybreak. Doesn't prove that oyer means night. Where do you find a priest in the imam goofy the day itself? The palgi better make a distinction. What was his answer? Who atzma yichiach? Look at it at Pesach. Miktsase mutter masis melacha, part of day is permitted. Chametz or miktsase also bechilas chametz, part of forbidden. Says the Gemara. Now we're digressing for a minute. Shapik ka amalei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov has a valid response to Rabbi Elazar. What's Rabbi Elazar's problem? How would you find you split a day at a Pesach? We split itself. So I mean, what's even the question? Hachgamlein. Rabbi Elazar, this is Rabbi Elazar saying to Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, look, I'm talking to you, Melacha de Rabban. I'm talking to you, Rabban, and an institution. They come along and say, we don't want you to work at a Pesach. Where do we find when the Rabban makes something, they split part and part? You're bringing me a proof from the Torah. The Torah makes a rule that we can't ask questions. We can't challenge it. It's a Xeris HaKasa, the decree from the Torah. V'at Amr li Chametz de Raisa. You're telling me, you're bringing me, what, the laws of Chametz? The Torah decided that till 12 o'clock it's permitted, and after 12 it's forbidden. The Torah, we can ask questions, but the Rabbanan try to make things which we can understand, which are palatable to the common folk. So the they ask it at a Pesach working, it should be from the beginning of the day, not from sunrise. Actually, it's a good question. What was the Rabbanan's answer? Shai's Rabbanan. We're going to learn later on that even though the Torah says 12 o'clock, either 1 hour before we have to stop, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, 2 hours before we stop eating and 1 hour before we burn because of a cloudy day. Maybe they don't have watches and clocks. Since it's a cloudy day, they don't really know what time it is. So therefore, we see clearly that the Rabban also, says Rabbi Yehuda, cut in the middle of the day. Rabbi Elazar says back to him, what are you talking about? Either ha-chokud of Rabban, that's different. The Rabbanon tagged it to the din Torah. The Torah says 12 o'clock. The Rabbanon said people might not really realize what time it is, so they add an hour or 2 hours. I'm talking about the Chachamim unilaterally came up with a new idea. Let's not work on Erev Pesach. And therefore, why would they start the sunrise? It makes sense. In first thing in the morning. So it doesn't prove anything, because maybe Oyer over here means first thing in the morning. We're not sure what it means. So anyone may bring another proof regarding the word Oyer, the noun. Ein Masi and Masuas, every Rosh Chodesh. How did they spread the message? They would light fires and they would go on top of the mountain and tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh is. Rosh Chodesh can be one of two possibilities. Could be that they saw the moon the 29th, the night of the 30th. In other words, the moon, the month is a shorter month. So the following day, the Bezin, on the 30th day, they would declare that today is Rosh Chodesh, which means it's only a 29-day month. And the following night, the night of the 31st, they would send people out on all the mountains with torches so that everyone knew that to this morning was Rosh Chodesh. Nobody saw the moon the night of the 30th, which means obviously the moon then would come out the night of the 31st. They wouldn't bother sending out torches because everyone then would know that Rosh Chodesh is actually the 31st day. It was a full month of 30 days. So it says in this braise. And then this stopped when the Tzedukim decided to play, to make havoc, wreak havoc, and they started lighting torches every month, the 29th, the 30th day, and everybody got confused. So Mason, they start saying messages instead. Mason has a question. Ein Masi and Masuas. You don't like these fires. El Allah Chodesh only those months should need a bismanoi, that we saw the moon in its right time, which means it was a short month. Likacha, so we want to tell everybody that this morning, the 30th day, was actually Rosh Chodesh. And then it says, if a masai masiyan musuis, so when do they actually light these torches? Le'oir iburin. Le'oir here means the night. Iburin means that if you have a full month of 30 days, it's like a pregnant month, so it's a full month. So the night of the 31st, if it would have been a 30-day month, the 31st would have been the new Rosh Chodesh. So that's the night that they go out there and put out the torches. Oy, obviously it's night. There's no light at night. It means nighttime. Alma oy urtu. The word oy, the noun, is night. Shmam, not a good proof. Meisha be another proof. Hoya oy mit kol alayla. The kohen would stand all night. Umakiv ala mizbeach. Let's say a kohen was standing all night working on the mizbeach, taking all the remnants from all the kabanas, the limbs, and the fats, and putting them on the mizbeach. Umakiv mizbeach la'oida to the oy. Nevertheless, if he was, even though he was up all night and working, every morning the kohen has to wash his, according to Rebbe, has to wash his hands and his legs and his feet. Ton kiddush yadayim reglan. Give it up. This is Rebbe. So what does he close from here? That the word oida doesn't mean to the light; it means nighttime. So oir, the noun is night. So anyway, that doesn't prove anything. Oira shiny. We're talking about the word oir, and there it says oira. When it says oira, everybody perhaps agrees that oira means daytime. Meisha, yeah, that's another question. We're still continuing this whole exercise of trying to prove whether the noun oir is day or night. Meisha, the rule is that a woman gives birth to a girl for 14 days. She is tamei. All the blood that she sees makes her tummy, and then for the next 66 days, all the blood she sees, she is tired. The night of the 80th day, any new blood she sees now is tamadika blood. And on the 81st, and then the following day, which is the 81st day, night of the 81st, I mean, the blood she sees is tummy, and the 81st day, she in the morning, she brings a carbon. So the question is, what happens if she fell pregnant again during these 66 days? And she miscarried, and then you have to bring a carbon for that as well. And the question is, if she miscarried, let's say, then if she miscarried the 82nd day or the 81st day, then she brings two kabanas, one for the first one, because it became the 81st day, she's already chayiv a carbon for the baby she had, you know, 80 days ago. And then one for this new one that she miscarried today on the 81st. But if she miscarried on the 80th day, then you bring one carbon for both. If she miscarried on the night of the 81st, so that night of the 81st, you already finished your 80 days, but you couldn't yet bring your carbon for the first child because it wasn't yet morning. So here we have an argument of Shammain Hill. Hamapela, she miscarried, Oid l'shmoinim, and it says Oid of Shmoinim. We're going to prove that the word Oid here means the night of the 80th. So this is the night of the 81st. The 80th is over the night of the 81st. Beshame says, Poitim Karban. Shame says, you potter from a carbon. You don't have to bring a carbon. You bring one carbon for both because since it didn't hit yet the morning, you didn't have the chiv of a carbon. You couldn't bring a carbon yet for the first child, so therefore the second one gets included in it. So no, you have to have a separate one. I understand. Why is the night of the 81st any different than the day? That you agree that the day of the 81st you have to bring two kabbanas. Well, the night also, the 80th is over, it's a new session, so you should bring two kabbanas, number one. And number two, im shiva le'tume le'yishav le'karbon, come the night of the 81st, you agree any new blood she sees, it's now tummy, it's no longer considered part of the 80s, this reason number two. So surely, as far as carbon, it should be a new carbon. Yeah, that's what actually, this is interesting, because normally we say the argument that Bishamai Basil is always about Koyach HaPoel. Bishamai says, look at the potential. Chanukah, the first day of Chanukah, you light eight candles, because potential for eight, and second, seven, and Hill. So you look at the, you know, like, what actual. And the actual, the first day is only one day. And here we have an argument, precisely the converse. Shammai says, the night of the 81st, the fact is you couldn't bring a carbon. So therefore, only in the morning. So therefore, as if you have nothing to do with the carbon. And Hill says, no, since potentially you could bring a carbon, it's a side issue why you can't. But potentially you can bring a carbon already, so it's a new session. So here we have, it seems to be the opposite. But Beis Hill holds you go after the potential, and Shammai you go after the actual. Anyway, and if you look at the words here, what we want to focus on is the word oid. Since Beis Hill says, Maishna, how is different? Oid, Shmoinim Echad. Miyoim, Shmoinim Echad. So it's clear, what do you mean when you use the word oid? Shmamina oir urtu, he wanted to say night. Shmamina, good proof. Okay, we'll just go one more proof. Meisvel asks another question. Yochum, we're talking now about a korban shlamim. All korbanos is a day. You're allowed to eat it by day and the following night, technically until the morning. And then we stop at midnight. We do that as a precaution. And you burn it the following morning. Korban shlamim, you're allowed 2 days and a night in between. The question is korban shlamim also allowed the second night as well? Because you don't burn it till the third day in the morning. Yochum, I would have thought, hey, nechel oil shlishi. Why shouldn't we be able to eat it also oil of the second night? No, the third day. So here we see oil clearly means the night. Vidinu, and it makes sense. Zvachim ne'echolim liyayim ech. Normal kabbanas you can eat for 1 day, day and night. Vishlamim ne'echolim lishnayim. Shlamim eat for 2 days. Ma'lahalon laylachayim. An ordinary carbon, a carbon taida. By day and the following night. So avkan laylachayim. Here you allow 2 days. You'll be 2 days and the following nights. Tamalayim medif, the Pasuk says, biyom zivchachim. On the day you shechted, you'll eat it. Then it says, umimachas, and the following day. And then it says v'hanois and whatever left over ad yom until the third day. That's when you burn it. So we dash it. What do you mean ad yom? Strange word. If you're allowed to eat the following night, you don't say ad yom. You say v'hanois b'shlishi. But it means b'oy yom nechli. You can only eat ad yom oy yom. As if it says when it's still day, the second day you can eat it. Abaveinu nechel shlishi. Once you finish the second day, the following night, even though you cannot burn it, you're not allowed to eat it either. Yochel abedev thor yisrav miyano. Okay, if you cannot eat it the night. I'll go into the third day, burn it straight away. Why wait till the following morning? Vidino, and it makes sense, because normally you burn the carbon as soon as you're no longer allowed to eat it. Zvachim necholim liyayim v'layla echad. Ordinary carbon is eat a day and the following night. Shlamim necholim lishneyayim v'layla echad. And a carbon shlamim, you can eat 2 days and the night in between. Malahalon, just like by ordinary carbonus. Tekev la'achilus reif. As soon as you finish eating, you're not allowed to eat anymore, you burn it. Avkan here too. Tekev la'achilus reif. As soon as you finish eating, you should burn it. Tamalaymer, therefore the Pasuk says, the hanoisir and what's left over, mipsar hazevach from your animal from your carbon, by yom hashlishi be'eshisayv on the third day you should burn. What do you mean by yom hashlishi by day? By yom atosayv only by day because it's extra. The atosayv for a bit of light, you don't burn it by night. What's our proof? Bidikomar he says yehi nechel oil shlishi. It says you should eat it oil of shlishi alma. What does he mean that oil ur to the oil is ur to clearly oil is night. Shmam, not a good proof. We'll do one more and then we'll stop. Tashma, come in here. Oil is Yom Kippurim, the oil of Yom Kippur, which again we're going to prove it's night. Mispal Sheva, you daven Shmoneser 7 brachas, umisvada and you say al chet. Shachris in the morning, mispal Sheva, you daven 7 brachas, umisvada you say al chet. Clearly, then oil must mean the preceding night. The Musaf mispal Sheva 7 brachas, umisvada you say al chet. The Mincha mispal Sheva, umisvada you say al chet. And then you have Ne'ilah, which is missing, and then Ba'arvis. And Ba'arvis, Mispalul Me'ein Shmoneser. Yeah, such a long day, by Ma'ariv, you only daven a very short Shmoneser. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Emir Shavuot, is going to say the name of his ancestors, Mispalul Shmoin Oser Shlemes, Mitzoyim Kippur, you daven the normal Ma'ariv, the normal Shmoneser. Why is that? We say Atachanantonu, and therefore you need to have a bracha to be able to say it in. Clearly from here we see Alma Oir Urtu. He says Oir, and then he says Shachris. What's Oir? It must be night. Shmamana is a valid proof. Okay, well, tomorrow we'll continue, Mr. Shem.